Now let's open our minds and our hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. All right, hold up your Bibles. I'm going to invest in the life of this generation. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Continuing the series today entitled, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I hope that by the end of this, when I say, have you found what you're looking for, everybody will say, yes. No, I had one person say yes, and everybody else is like, the jury's still out, so I must not be doing what I'm supposed to be doing because you're leaving church not finding the things you're looking for. So far in the series, I've covered week number one, finding God in your life. And so I hope that you have at least found God. If you find him, I promise all this other stuff will kind of take care of itself. Week number two, I talked about finding significance. Week number three, I talked about finding love. Week four was finding success. Week five was finding purpose. Week six was finding God's plan. And today, I'm going to talk about the subject of finding acceptance. You know that every one of us on the planet, no one is exempt from wanting to be accepted. We all just want to be accepted by someone, and hopefully just like I am. Now, I learned as I was a youth pastor, I discovered that this is not really the case completely. Let me explain. So I would watch young people go off. They were one way at home. They would go off to high school, and things would begin to change. One little girl, we'll call her Susie. And Susie loved her parents, had a great relationship with her mom and dad, and Susie had a great relationship with her siblings, and Susie loved to play outside and loved to socialize with her family and play games, do all kind of fun stuff. And all of a sudden, Susie goes off to high school, and Susie finds it difficult to fit in. She finds it difficult to be accepted. She can't find her niche. All of a sudden, one day in high school, someone says, hey, you can come hang out with us. And it happened to be a group, we'll call them the goth kids. They wear all black, got white makeup on, they listen to heavy metal. Nothing wrong with heavy metal, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to size up the people we're talking about. And all of a sudden, Susie comes home, and after a period of time, she starts to change. All of a sudden, Susie's locking herself in a room, separating from her parents. She's not socializing with her parents anymore. She doesn't like her little brothers and sisters now. All of a sudden, they're a pest. She starts listening to different kinds of music and watching different things on TV and so on. And Susie starts changing, but not in a positive way. Her parents are perplexed. Why all of a sudden did my sweet little, outgoing, sweet, loving little Susie change? Because she was accepted. But you see, she wasn't accepted just like she was. See, that was the ploy. The ploy was, you're accepted like you are, but if you really want to be accepted, you'll have to look like us and act like us and change to be like us to be part of who we are. I find it interesting that when we come to church and we meet Jesus, we're hopefully, and I say this carefully, Not all churches will you be accepted, because you may not look like them or act like them. I hear things like this about New Beginnings. You know, it's a great church. The pastor's good. He does a good job. The worship team's phenomenal. But you know, there's some weird people up in this congregation. Y'all weird. I mean, what can I tell you? But you know, the kingdom of God is weird. And in the kingdom of God, they're not all going to look like you. They're not all going to dress like you and act like you. They don't all live in your neighborhood. We got to start learning to be accepting of people who are not like us if we're going to be the church. Now, he will come to church, and we'll say we come to a place we hope we get accepted. And then we get there, And we meet Jesus, and we realize that this God is this holy, righteous God. And then we start looking at ourselves and saying, how in the world, why in the world would this holy, righteous God accept me? because I know me. And I know where I came from, and I know what I've been involved in, and I know all the things I've done, and so I know he can't accept me. So instead of us coming and allowing Jesus to transform us, we run in the other direction. It happens all the time. And if we would just run to God and allow God to transform us and change us, we would see this incredible thing happen in our lives, but instead we run in the other direction. We find it hard to believe that Jesus or anybody else would accept us, would want us, or could want us, or would want us for any reason, right? Now, the church has done a terrible job over the last 2,000 years of saying we're a place of acceptance. Every church could put that moniker on their door. We accept all people. But if you go there and you don't look like them, and you don't act like them, and you don't talk like them and walk like them, all of a sudden you may find that you don't quite fit in with them. I tell our leaders and our staff here all the time, one of the things I preach to them all the time is we're a place of acceptance. That's why we got a lot of weird people in our congregation. I mean, you got to just be okay with weird. Because the more our church grows, the weirder it's going to get. People always come to me, you know, Pastor, this new guy, he's weird. Have you looked in the mirror? We'll always be a place of acceptance. Why? Because Jesus, let me bring you back to the day you were saved. Jesus accepted you just like you were. I love that when I was seeking God, when I was running towards God myself, that he didn't say, look, I tell you what, I'm glad you're seeking me. Why don't you do this first? Why don't you go clean up your act? Why don't you get rid of these things and get rid of those things and clean this up and clean that, and maybe, just maybe one day, I'll accept you. No, he said, I'll take you just like you are. I want you to know, he says to every one of us, arms wide open, I'll take you just like you are. Now, what happens is we start, when we run towards God after he accepts us, we say, I want to be more like God. And so we then start changing, but in the right way. Then what happens is so often that the church has done this, we become religious, and we forget where we came from, and we start imposing on other people this unacceptance. The church, we can never be that as the church. We have to be a place of acceptance. I could spend all day right there. But we're not. All right, turn everything I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to give you some evidences today that you are completely accepted. We're going to have a lot of dialogue today. I'm going to ask you questions, and I'm going to expect loud and proud answers coming from you. And so make sure we do that. If I have to make you repeat it, we'll just keep repeating it like the children of Israel walking around the desert for 40 years until you get it. And if you finally get it, then we'll get out of here at a normal time. And if not, we could be here all day. I'm just saying. I want you to say this with me first. Say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
That's good. All right, you got the idea. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to read seven verses. And in those seven, I'm going to preach the entire sermon from those seven verses. And I'm going to show you, give you six evidences. The church today is a courtroom. And I'm going to present six pieces of evidence that you and I are highly accepted by God. Amen? Yes. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on the earth under Christ. If you ever wondered how and why God or anyone else would or could accept you because of the things you've done or not done, sit tight. I'm going to present to you six pieces of evidence from the scripture I just read to you that are going to show you unreservedly that you are completely accepted. Here it is, just like you are. So somebody at that point should have said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Remember, this is, we're going to dialogue today, so I'm expecting answers when I say things. All right. Got that. All right, here goes. Evidence number one, six evidence from Ephesians chapter 1 that you are completely accepted. Say this with me. Say, I'm completely accepted.
Completely accepted.
All right, here we go. Evidence number one, you are supremely blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And I want you to understand something. God is not waiting to bless you based on your ability, but instead based on your belief. He didn't say, look, I'd be glad to bless you, but you got to get right first. I'll bless you when you straighten your act up, when you get rid of that, and when you tune that up and fix that and tweak that, and then maybe I'll bless you. Listen, your blessing has nothing to do with your behavior. Your blessing has to do with your belief. First and foremost, are you in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Have you received him as Lord and Savior of your life? If that's the case, then you are in line, folks, for a blessing. Now, it says that he gives us every spiritual blessing. I want you to know this is a twofold thing. So he not only blesses us in the physical, but he also blesses us in the spiritual. How many of you know you're spiritually gifted? I'm looking at some gifted people. You're full of spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts working together make us the church, right? But I want you to know that you're blessed physically too. In your body, in your checkbook. I know. See, I know. This is what happened. I know you were thinking, yeah, but you haven't seen my checkbook. The balance says zero. I mean, that don't look blessing to me. See, the problem is most of us don't believe we're blessed, and the reason we haven't received it because we haven't believed it. The Bible, throughout the New Testament, the Bible tells us that in order to receive the things of God, we have to believe the things of God. Most of you don't even believe you have spiritual gifts. Most of you don't believe that you're spiritually blessed. God can't use me. Look at me. I mean, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I mean, why would God want to use me? Because without you, the church doesn't have a big toe, or a little finger, or an arm, or a leg, or a heart. You all make up the body of Christ, and those spiritual gifts working together make us the church. But he also wants to bless you, physically bless you, prosper. He wants to prosper you. The phrase, who has blessed us, is a past completed action. That means it's already done. We're not waiting for something to happen. It's already happened. You just haven't received it yet. Your blessing is already paid for by Jesus, right? The blessing that Paul is speaking of, he says it's an invoked blessing. Invoked, to cause to be carried out in your life. So Jesus says, I've invoked this thing. I've caused this thing to be carried out in your life. You're going to be spiritually blessed. You're going to have spiritual gifts. You're going to be part of the church. I'm going to use you in a powerful way. But also, on top of that, I'm also going to bless you and prosper you. Because the word blessing is the word, it means in the Greek, it's the Greek word eulogio, and it means to prosper. To invoke a blessing of prosperity upon you. Anybody up for a blessing of prosperity? So we're going to be blessed spiritually prosperous, but we're also going to be physically prosperous as well. So the word prosperity just simply means affluence, riches, opulence, a good life. How many of you are ready to live a good life? Well, you know what? Listen, the Bible says in John 10:10, he said, Jesus said, I've came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's a good life. So you're not living a good life yet? Sit tight. You know what I learned years ago? I learned that when I begin to thank God and give God praise for what I already have,
amen,
as little as it is, Lord, I thank you for this box of Kleenex. Well, that's a good old box of Kleenex. Lord, if I don't get another gift from you, this box of Kleenex is all I need. He said, I'll give you two boxes because you got a runny nose. I give you two boxes. You know what started to happen was we started to experience it here with this building. God, we started thanking God for our little place on 4th Street, a little 6,000 square feet. Lord, thank you for this little place on 4th Street. We love it. And our little church grew and grew and grew in that place. Lord, so I got something else for you. And he moved us over to Jefferson Avenue. And then we began to grow there. And it really wasn't suitable for us to continue to grow. And the Lord said, oh, we're going to let you out of that lease. And now we got something else for you. And here we are at 29 Park Place Drive. And I want you to know this is not the end. This is just another step in the progression of blessing. And we keep saying, look what God has done. Look, I sometimes can't even believe it myself. I'm sitting here, honestly, just today during worship, and I'm sitting here and I'm like this is real. Like, I'm really the pastor of this church. God, you got a sense of humor. God has got a sense of humor, doesn't he? My pastor, bald-headed. So when you wake up tomorrow, just say, Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you've already done. And Lord, you know what? If you never give me another thing, what you've already done is more than enough. He said, oh, you keep bragging on me. I'll keep giving you more. I'll give you more to brag about. Lord, thank you that I just got the gift of praying. I got the, our ladies, we thank you ladies so much. I told them the other night, Nancy and the ladies, the other night I got to tell them, I was here Sunday night for our prayer meeting. I got to tell them face to face, just what a blessing. I'm telling you, our church has experienced the things it's experienced in the last year. I believe it's part and parcel of what they've done here in tearing down spiritual strongholds in this church and in our community. It's been phenomenal. Listen, I want you to know, you start thanking God for the little bit you have, God will make sure you get some more. Amen. Brag on me some. I'll give you more to brag about. See, we say every week before my sermons about the Bible, we'll choose to believe it over our circumstances. We'll choose to trust it whether we see the results immediately or not. Now, are those just words we say, or is that something you believe? See, I say that every week, and I don't want it to become so rote that you just, I went to a church for many, many years, 35 years, actually. And we would say the same things week after week after week. And what started to happen was I would kind of even forget what I was saying because you just say it. You lose the meaning of saying, I don't ever want to, let's not lose the meaning of why it is we're saying what we're saying about the Bible as we get ready to study the Bible. God, I'm going to choose to believe it over my circumstance. I'm going to choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. God, even if it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, the next day, I'm still going to believe it because your word says it's true. Yes. 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 Listen, he has blessed us. He has blessed us. It is done. The question now is, are you in Christ? Because if you're not in Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, well, listen, you can't have what I'm talking about. Now, and all you have to do to rectify that is believe, confess your belief with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and you'll be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He doesn't exclude anyone. Call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And then you're in Christ. And if, once you're in Christ, you're set up to receive all that God has for you. Amen? Amen. Say, I'm supremely blessed. Number two, evidence that you are accepted by God is that God chose you. Look what it says in verse 4. For he chose us. You could just put the word me right there. He chose me. And I want you to know, he looked around the earth and he said, hey, I chose you. So if you don't think you're accepted, just remember that one phrase, those four words. He chose me before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. The word chose is the Greek word eglikome, and it means to make a choice. I want you to know, before the foundation of the world, God chose you. He saw your unformed body. He says, I choose you. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I was thinking it as I was preparing the sermon. I know God immediately right here, they're thinking that, but he didn't know all the bad things I would do. And he didn't know all the negative stuff that I would say or all the bad things I'd be involved in. I want you to know you're wrong. Because he is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He knew everything you would do and everything you would say before you ever thought of saying them. And yet, he still chose you. I'd say based on that fact alone, you're accepted. God made a choice for you. Matter of fact, I want you to think about this. See, you're in church and you think, well, of course God chose me. Look at me. Of course he chose me. I'm choosable. But I want you to think about the people in your neighborhood. You know, that neighbor you don't like? God chose them too. How about this one? How about the Muslim and the Jehovah's Witness and the atheist and the rich guy who has no need for God and the guy on the street who wants nothing to do with God? I want you to know God chose them too. You know that thing about yourself you can't stand? And you try to hide it because you think if anybody else knows it, they'll not like you because of it also? He chose you. With even knowing that, even having that deep, dark secret about yourself, he chose you anyway. Listen, you ever heard the statement, friends are the family you choose? We have friends like that, right? They're like the family. I have closer family in this church than I do in my own family. I love my family. I better not say this is on TV. I better not say it. I love my family. But I got family here. I'm closer to family here than the ones who have the same blood running through the veins. Stop right there. You are the family God chose. Think about that. He said, I want them to be a part of my family. Number three, evidence that you are accepted. You're part of the family. Say it with me. Say, when you hear. You got to say it like this. When you're here, you're family, right? Listen, I want you to know, if you're in Christ, you're part of the family. Look what he said in verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. God didn't wait for you to start to show signs of favorable behavior towards him to accept you into the family. While you were still a sinner, Carla said a little while ago, Jesus died for you. While you were in the midst of your worst, Jesus died for you because he wanted you to be part of the family. Never forget hearing about a heavenly father before I came to Christ that loved me so much that he would go to great lengths to reach me. I never could comprehend that or understand that until I got the revelation of it. And when I got the revelation of how much God loved me and how much he chose me and how much he really accepted me, my life was radically changed. And I want you to know, when you really allow God in and you really begin to see and experience how much God really accepts you, it literally will change your life. The moment you receive Jesus and his free gift of salvation, you're part of the family. In Christ, you are sons and daughters with all the same rights and privileges as a natural son. You're part of the family. Listen, so I want you to get this. When we think about being a son or a daughter to our parents, we have whatever they have, we're going to inherit, right? Called inheritance. And now I want you to know, your heavenly father is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says the world is his and all that is in it. You see your inheritance? The world is his and all that is in it. Daddy, can I have my inheritance? Can I just have a little piece of my inheritance? See, that's the problem. The problem is we just don't believe it. We don't believe it to be. Your heavenly father is the king of the universe, and everything he has is yours, child of God. I might just stop right now. Say this with me. Say, I'm part of the family. Number four evidence that you are accepted is you're highly favored. Verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us and the one he loves. Anybody see the words highly favored in that verse? Raise your hand if you see it. It's right there. Here's what it says. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one. The words freely given is one Greek word translated to freely given, and it's the Greek word charito, charitoo, and it means highly favored. So it says right here, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has highly favored us in the one he loves. Who's the one he loves? Couldn't hear you. Say it louder. Jesus. So remember this. He highly favors you because of your relationship with Jesus, all right? Because of Jesus, you are deemed highly favored, considered super special in the family. Now, most of you have heard me say this before, and I say it jokingly, and I say it because I want you to get it. I'm God's favorite. No, I am. But I want you to get it. But I want you to know, sister, you are too, right? You are as much a favorite as I am. If you're a part of the family of God, you are God's favorite. You are highly favored of God. You know, my kids all joke about which one's the favorite. And they all think Dallas is the favorite or Caitlin may be the favorite. Caitlin says, no, I'm not the favorite. Grace thinks she's the favorite. And Michael was saying he was the favorite at first service. And I'm just like, yes, son, whatever. You know, listen, I want you to know, y'all all the favorite. Y'all the favorite. Now, I happen to like your kids. My grandkids are even more favorite than you. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. No, just now. Let me tell you what happened just now. So during service, I go use the restroom so I don't have to go to the bathroom while I'm standing here. And I walk in the hallway by preschool, and my granddaughter, June, is in the hallway with Chloe, and she looks at me, Pops! I want you to know, like, my whole day was made right there, right? Anyway, we digress. We're highly favored of God. We are God's favorite. As Paul wrote to the church, the body of Christ at Ephesus, he was reminding them just how special they were and they are. And I want you to know, if you get nothing else out of today's sermon, when you leave here, I want you to be saying to yourself, I don't care what's happening around me, but I know this. I'm highly favored of God. Listen. Doesn't matter what you've done or not done. Listen to me. You're highly favored, not because of what you do, because of what he did. Yes. Now, let me tell you how important a word that is, the word charito. In the entire Bible, the entire New Testament, because the New Testament was all written in Greek originally. In the entire New Testament, that word, charito, is only used one other time in all of Scripture. It's used in Luke chapter 1 when the angel Gabriel goes to the Virgin Mary and he tells Mary, hey, Mary, you're going to be the carrier of the Christ. The Messiah is going to be born in you and through you. And she's like, why? And he says, because you're highly favored. Same Greek word. I want you to know. The same Greek word, the angel telling Mary, you're going to carry the Messiah. He's telling us today, hey, church, you're carrying the Holy Spirit in you. You're highly favored. I think so much of you that I put you in the same category as the woman who brought my son to earth. Say it with me. Say, I'm highly favored. Yes, you are. Number 5, evidence that we are accepted by God is the price has been paid for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The word redemption, as used in verse 7, is the Greek word apolytrosis, and it means ransomed or paid in full. When it comes to the complete payment of your sin was paid once and for all and would never have to be paid again. I want you to understand, the price to be paid for our sin was so big and so exorbitant, but the gift that Jesus paid was bigger than your sin and the sin of the whole world. I thought that would have got a better amen than that. I'm just saying. Now, when it comes to your sin and my sin, how many of you beat yourself? Don't raise your hand. We beat ourselves up about our sin. I shouldn't have done that again. I shouldn't have thought that again. I shouldn't. And we walk around in shame and in guilt because of the things we do or we don't do. And I want you to know, you walking around in shame and guilt and not receiving Jesus' free gift, the redemption for your salvation, the redemption, the payment for your sin, is like saying to Jesus, would you go to the cross again? Could you get back up there one more time? Help me with this guilt. Help me with this shame. And Jesus ain't getting back on the cross. I remember being in church all my childhood, and I would see Jesus hanging on that cross in church. And I would look and say, I understood here why he was on the cross, for the sin of the whole world. But, you know, I never put myself as part of the sin of the whole world. And when I realized that he was up there for me, it became personal. Everything changed. I want you to know, you are highly favored, right? I'm sorry, that the price has been paid. You're highly favored, so he paid a price for you. And the price was an exorbitant price. Here's what the price was. The price was God's one and only son. If you think you're not accepted, you think you're not important, think about that. That God would send his son in your place. The price has been paid. Say this with me. Say, I'm valuable.
I'm valuable.
Yes, you are. Number six, last but not least, God's plans involve you. This is evidence number six that God's plans involve you. Ephesians 1:9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Listen, you know you become a good friend to somebody when they begin to share with you their deepest, darkest secrets. Hey, look, we're friends now, and I feel like I could tell you this stuff about my past. Or I could tell you this stuff about some hang-ups and some quirks that I have. Not that y'all have any, because y'all not weird or anything. But I want you to know, and by the way, Jesus doesn't have deep, dark secrets. He only has good secrets. But he wants to tell you. So what happens is when he draws you into the family, he goes, hey, let me download to you some things. I'm going to make known the mystery of my will. That's how close we are. I'm going to make known the mystery of my will. We're going to participate together to reach this world for Jesus one soul at a time. And yeah, I'm going to use you. Me? Yes, you. With all your hang-ups and all your quirks and all your weirdness, I'm going to use you just like you are. He made known to us the mystery of his will. God chose you and I to participate with him in the work of God on the earth. Now, when you choose to serve God, whether it be within the four walls of the church, and by the way, I love when you serve here. I love the fact that you're doing, but I want you to understand something. Serving God really doesn't happen until you get outside those doors. We don't really become the church until we leave this place. And we go out into the world around us, and we begin to infiltrate and affect the world around us with what happened in here. If you come in here, you get touched by God, man, what a great day. I'm so excited for God. And you walk out and just put that in your back pocket for till next Sunday, then you've lost the point, right? God, we come in here to get loaded up, geared up, ready to go so we can go out there and be the church. And every time you do something nice for somebody, every time you help somebody, every time you say something nice to somebody, you're being the church. You're a major player in God's plan on the earth. If God didn't accept you, then why would he include you in the mystery of his will? I'd choose somebody else, but he chose you. If you're trying to find acceptance and having trouble fitting in, just remember, you're already completely accepted in Christ. Here it is. I want you to remember this. Just like you are. You don't have to change for Jesus to love you. You don't have to change for us to love you. Some things might need to go, but you just kidding. Might need you to give up a few. I'm just kidding. See, that's the problem with the church is we start saying, well, man, if you really want to be a follower of God, then you really got to quit these things and do these things. Not really. I mean, it'd probably be to your benefit, but you don't have to do that to have a relationship with Jesus, and you don't have to do it to be accepted by him or be accepted by us. We'll accept you just like you are. You know why? Because God accepted me just like I was. He accepted you just like you are. God's plans involve you. Six evidences from Ephesians that you're completely accepted. You're supremely blessed. God chose you. You're part of the family. You are highly favored. The price has been paid for you, and God's plans involve you. Now, if you're trying to find acceptance, and today you've discovered through this sermon, I am completely accepted, and I'm receiving his acceptance, would you please stand with me? Say, I'm ready to receive God's acceptance for who I am, just like I am. I want you to come to the altar. If you're here and you know, hey, Jesus accepts me, I know that, I receive that, and I'm ready to be used by God and his plans on the earth. God, download me to the mystery of your will. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to receive it. Join me here. Come on. I want you to kind of look around. I want you to kind of wrap your head around the fact that, you know, Jesus chose 12 guys. Hey, you guys, I'm going to download some stuff to you guys over 3 years, and you're going to go out and affect the world. 12 guys. 70 when he went back to heaven, and they went out and they affected the world around them. This is way more than that. And if you guys just take the message that I've given you today, first for yourselves, and then to go tell somebody else. Let me tell you how accepted you are, because everybody needs acceptance. We all just want to be accepted. Will somebody accept me just like I am? Listen, if the world around you rejects you, remember this, Jesus will accept you, and so will we. Amen? Raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We're thankful. We're blessed. God, we are supremely blessed. You chose us. We're a part of your family. We're highly favored. A price has been paid for us, such a big price, God, that we can't even wrap our head around the size of the price, the size of the payment. And your plans involve us, and those things, God, Heavenly Father, just quite honestly are mind-boggling to us. But Lord, we thank you. Nevertheless, we thank you, and we ask you to fill us and use us as we go for you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.